Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I am Will.
We have an excellent night planned for you. It's approximately two power outages length of music and talk, depending on if you're watching our Super Bowl. The Super Bowl was kind of ridiculous, wasn't it, Will?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, so apparently you can have a power outage for half of a Superdome, and I wonder how much electricity they saved.
That's a good question, actually. And kind of makes you wonder. I wonder how much electricity they wasted, because have you seen the pictures of Sean Payton and everything?
Yeah, or the some 49ers fan cutting the breaker off or whatever.
Yeah.
We actually have it. We have a funny little. You mind if we play a song right now, just straight out of the gate?
Just sure, why not?
Okay,
dude?
So I'm not sure. I used to host the 80s show here, the Flashback Friday or the Retro Reality or whatever it's called now. But
so many names.
It was called different. I think it was called Flashback Friday, and we did a bunch of really cool stuff. All the people that migrated with me, and one of the things we did was listen to Rick Astley, and I'm not going to play Never Gonna Give You Up, but he did Never Gonna Give You Up when he was like 25 when he did that song.
He looks 12 in that video.
Yeah,
I'm not
gonna lie. Well, he's aged a little bit. I think he's like 54, 55 now, and he's got a fairly new song. It's called Lights Out, and I think it's kind of befitting.
fitting for the Super Bowl.
Let's go ahead and play that. We're MG, and
I'm Will,
and this is Experience Points on Southeastern Zone 90.9. 9 FM.
KSLU.
On the empty streets of this nowhere town, so I can turn the lights out.
Turn the lights out.
And we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU. I'm MG.
And I'm Will. And this is Experience Point.
We're still doing it, too. We were actually talking when the song was playing that wouldn't it have been great if Rick Astley did the... did the halftime show instead of Beyonce, or 12 Beyoncés in the halftime case. It's kind of funny. I imagine, you know, at least Beyonce didn't get half the light shut off on her when she was dancing. That would have kind of been a little bit of a turn off.
That would have been really funny, actually, though, if they would have had him do the halftime show, and they're like, okay, here's Rick Astley, and the only song he sang was that one, and then he just got off the stage. Lights Out or Never Gonna Give You Up? Just light. Oh, actually, I guess... It would have been funny if halfway through Lights Out, out of nowhere, like,
comes back with the old song.
That would have been really funny.
Or he, like, superimposed, he, like, puts, like 49ers, never gonna give it up.
That would have been really
takes whoever's
funny.
Losing at the time and makes him the underdog.
But,
So over the weekend, we watched football. I started playing classic games, or I started playing the new versions of classic games. I have a Wii, I jailbroke it, we talked about that a while back.
Homebrew.
And I homebrewed, yeah. And I installed Skyward Sword, Zelda.
Oh, dude.
I've not played it. I've owned it. I bought it brand new from GameStop, and it's been in its little, you know, little plastic wrapper that's so hard to get into. It's been in the plastic wrapper for a while, and I went ahead and I installed it, which took like 20, 30 minutes. So I'm making coffee, you know, doing whatever, and then it finally installs, and I get to play it. And it does that thing where it's like, you know, go ahead and put your wrist strap on, make sure you don't nunchuck and kill someone. Then it says, oh, you need the actual accessory, the little nunchucky thing, like the little extra bit. So I got to dig that out because I never use it except to play Metroid. And I find it, I put it in there, and I realize that I just don't like the new Zelda.
What?
I know. I really tried to like it.
I was actually thinking while you were saying all this, I was going to comment, like, I've actually heard no one complain about this Zelda.
Well, hold on. Okay, so let's roll back for a little bit. I liked Link to the Past. That's my favorite Zelda.
Okay.
Minish Cap, even, not that bad on the Game Boy Advance. I think it's the Game Boy Advance. It may be like the GameCube or whatever. But then on N64, a lot of people, I guess I missed it, but a lot of people played Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask, and those were admittedly darker. Ocarina of Time, anyway, that was like the end of the world in that game.
But I mean, everyone like Ocarina of Time is rated as like the best game,
right? And I have the GameCube, like, you know how they had the GameCube remake of the N64 thing, and they've got like both of them on there. I have it, or I bought it on the WiiWare or the Virtual Console. I have it, and I can't force myself to play it. And I'm not sure if it's a graphical thing, like Legend of Zelda: Link to the Past. It's got 16-bit Super Nintendo graphics. It's colorful. It's vibrant. It's like playing Pokemon or whatever.
Yeah.
You don't expect it to be Perfect Dark or GoldenEye, but in the same vein, try playing GoldenEye right now, not the remake, not the Wii remake.
Talking about the Nintendo 64 one?
Yeah, try to play the original GoldenEye.
That game was really fun.
It is really fun, but I think a lot of people confuse the fun with, like, we had fun when we were playing it. It's not actually a good game now. Like, you could play Halo won the original Halo, and you're like, man, this is an ugly game, and that really detracts. You could play GoldenEye, and you're like, why did we think this was such a good game?
It really isn't good? Like,
I mean, if you, again, I think, like, I know I played it.
But I remember whenever I played it, I was like, this is the funnest game ever.
Right, but how old were you? How old were you when you played it?
Obviously,
you know?
I mean, my imagination probably was the reason I thought it was fun.
Right, I mean, did you actually watch GoldenEye? Have you seen the movie?
No, I've never seen the movie.
Okay, so don't do that then. Don't see Gold. I'm sorry, everyone out there that thinks Pierce Brosnan made a good Bond. He didn't. He was a bad Bond, in my opinion. I mean, I am just saying. But it's like, okay, the original Perfect Dark. Perfect Dark on the Xbox, I'm sorry, not the Xbox, the Xbox 360 remake, like the texture new version, I'm actually playing that. With the Xbox controls, it works. But with the N64 joystick, weird, crazy boomerang controls, it looks like a giant M you're holding, with the middle bit being longer. But I mean, it's, or a W, or one of those
Trident.
Star Wars. A Trident.
Yeah.
That's the best one. in fact, I can imagine a
like, gamer guy.
Like a gamer guy with a pole, with those, with a power glove, and a Trident. With
a cape, and...
Anyways, so, but no, I mean, imagine playing that with the old style controls, with the old system, you know, it's just not the same.
Yeah.
And I feel that people like they nostalgia, they reminisce and they romanticize about it way too much. The same way I feel is my experience with Zelda. Zelda to me was always a top down RPG type of game. You got your gear, you found your thing, you went to the underworld, the overworld, or the whatever, the flip world, and you saw the guy on the log,
typical,
and he disappeared.
Typical Zelda.
Right, typical Zelda.
Yeah.
And God forbid if you hit in that infinite forest, like in the first one. I don't think they had an infinite forest in Legend of A Link to the Past, but I never got so far in Majora's Mask or Ocarina of Time. I lost interest because the game looked ugly. It looks bad.
You never beat?
No. Hold on. What? I know we're going to have like a bro night and just beat Zelda, but
what is it?
I start
Who are you?
How do
you host this show with me?
What do you think you are?
Yeah, but no, I mean, I'm not scared to admit it. I've played them, yes. And they're great games, sure, but I never saw the big attraction to it. I would love, honestly, I have a PSP, and I actually broke into the PSP and jailbroke that at one point,
you
so I could play
everything.
Yeah, you know, it's a hobby of mine.
You have a smartphone that's jailbroken as well?
No, I don't have a jailbroken smartphone, but that's like the only thing that's not jailbroken. In fact, I jailbroke my Nintendo DS, so I could play Legend of Zelda Link to the Past on it, because I think that's like probably the best Super Nintendo next to Mega Man X. Let's get one thing straight. Mega Man X. We actually have something later in the show about Mega Man X, but let's get one thing straight. Mega Man X is my favorite Super Nintendo game.
Really?
For side-scrolling platformer. But I mean, you know, as far as RPG, I think Legend of Zelda Link to the Past probably takes it. Favorite RPG of all time. And that's just how it is for me. So I'm playing these poser games, Legend of Zelda. Who do they think they are? You know, I'm playing these games, and it just didn't really do it for me. But now I'm thinking, you know, I'm older, I'm wiser, I've got a little more gaming history behind me. You know, I've played some pretty bad games, Duke Nukem Forever. I played some pretty good games, Far Cry 3.
Yeah, but I've heard bad, horrible things about Duke Nukem Forever.
You know what? I think it was the biggest troll game ever. That's how I feel about
it.
Really? Yeah, because like if you played the original Duke Nukem 3D and Duke Nukem Manhattan Project and Planet of Babes or whatever the
ridiculous
name, Duke was always this like super, he was like the biggest, most obnoxious Texan out there. He was like, you know, I'm here to kick some butt. And he was like the guy off of Evil Dead.
Yeah, I mean,
he was like, what's his face from, I can't even remember his name, but you know, guy with a chainsaw for an arm. And
I know who you're talking about. They always made fun of him on that TV show, Bill and Mandy.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't think of his name.
It was the guy off of Evil Dead, and I hate, because it's such a geek movie. It's a cult movie. I can't even remember the guy's name, but
they actually redoing
Bruce Campbell. It's Bruce Campbell.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like Bruce Campbell, but that's how I feel Duke Nukem is. And then I feel like that's okay to be that way, because that's the whole, all the games are ridiculous. They never tried to make a serious game.
Yeah.
I don't even think they'll make a movie out of it, because you just can't. They'd have to get Will Ferrell to be Duke Nukem, and that doesn't make any sense. So, or give Vin Diesel hair, which is just crazy in and of itself.
Vin
Diesel, man. Anyway, I think that, you know, maybe I've got a little bit of time behind me, and I'll play Legend of Zelda, Skyward Sword, and I have the other one, too. Not Wind Waker, the other one for the Wii. There's Skyward Sword, there's Twilight Princess. Twilight Princess, and
is that one good? I don't know.
I heard that was like one for the GameCube and one for the Wii. It was the one game that they made it for both consoles. And I've played a little bit of it, and it's just the controls are weird to me.
Okay. But like, 'cause But whenever you were talking about Skyward Sword, like I was, like I said, I was thinking, because like everyone I've ever talked to said they loved Skyward Sword because the sword, everything with the Wii controller, everything was implemented like perfectly, and then everyone loved Ocarina of Time. Everyone loved, like, basically all those people that are like, I'm in love with every Zelda game. They even bought the 3DS just so they could play Ocarina of Time on it. Those people.
I think you just stumbled. Maybe you weren't intending to, but you just stumbled across why I don't like these Zelda games. That you have to use the Wii controls. You have to, like, you know, it's not playing with a Super Nintendo. Like, if I played with the power controller, you know, the one you, like, connect in and it's pretty much a Super Nintendo controller.
Yeah, I know you don't.
If I could play with that or even the WaveBird, like a GameCube controller,
yeah,
I think I'd be happy as can be because it's like playing a video game. And I didn't get, honestly, you know, some people out there are like, I got a Wii because my God, you know, my grandson or my uncle or whatever, you know, my nephew, he likes playing with the Wii because he's a kid. I didn't get it to play with the Wii controls to play Just Dance 2. I didn't get that. I played, honestly, it's like Super Mario Brothers. I think Super Mario Brothers is great on the Wii because you just turn your controller sideways, and guess what? It's a regular Nintendo controller when you do that. It's got directions, and it's got two buttons, and that's all you need.
So you said you didn't like Ocarina of Time because of the way it looked?
I guess the way it looked, and it was just so different from the Link to the Past. And it was like, I don't expect every Zelda game to be that way. It's like, okay, look, I look at Final Fantasy, and I'm like, Final Fantasy for me, every Final Fantasy, like, graphical past, like, Final Fantasy, I guess, 7 and up, they all look about the same to me. Like, I'm a digital dude, I'm going to run around, up, everything's turning, I'm falling into quicksand, up, it's a fight, I'm going to fight, I'm gonna cast the fire dude or the ice queen or whatever.
And they're all basically the same.
Yeah, they're all basically the same, or they're online and they're bad. But I mean, you know, so it's not that. I don't expect them to do the same thing over and over and over again, because I think that fails. But at the same time, I think going from a top-down, you know, Legend of Zelda 2, like for the regular Nintendo, was a side-scroller, and that was a terrible... I think that worked out just... I think the only thing they should have done with that is maybe made like a Mario Zelda crossover type of thing. That's what it seemed like they did even.
Yeah.
It was like all of a sudden they took the Mario engine, but they killed half of, or even the Super Metroid engine, they killed half of it and took all the story out, and they somehow gave it to the Legend of Zelda team, and it was just bad. But anyway, I don't expect it to be the same. I do expect it to kind of carry over some of the nuance, and I don't feel it did that. Maybe I played it so long ago that I wasn't able to get the nuance in it.
Yeah.
But I know Skyward Sword, I played it, and I go, these graphics look muddy. And I wasn't expecting HD graphics.
But see, I was like, I heard that they did the graphics the way they did just for the sole purpose of nostalgia.
Yeah.
Just to make everyone that plays it be like, yes, the graphics are just like how they used to be, basically, except ever so slightly better, so they're amazing.
They reminds me of like early Dreamcast games. It's kind of strange. Like, have you ever played Skies of Arcadia? It was this big, bright, you know, obviously Japanese inspired, you know, game, which was great. The art style was perfect because it was like a one off shoot game. You know, they didn't have a prequel to follow. But then I feel like the color palette's the same in all the Legend of Zeldas now. You know, they're greens and the bright yellows and the bright blues, and that's fine. That's not a problem. But I feel like the entire intro was completely different. Again, I don't understand, that the timeline for Zelda games, they're not necessarily this. It's not the same guy. Like, Link is not the same guy throughout all the games.
Yeah.
There is a Link, and the Link character is the same. Like, he's a different generation throughout all the games. And there's, like, for the 25th anniversary or the 10th or the 20th, I can't remember, one of the anniversaries, they released, Nintendo released with Koji Kondo, they released his big symphony. We'll get a track later on,
Have you ever actually listened to that?
Yeah, it's actually really good.
I actually have the soundtrack in my house.
Yeah, did you get it with Skyward Sword?
The thing is yeah, my friend, he has Skyward Sword, so he got it with it, but... Have you listened to the Skyward Sword theme in reverse? I know that sounds weird.
No.
It's actually, what is that? It's actually Zelda's Lullaby.
Oh, okay. And that's kind
of
cool.
Yeah, it's in reverse. Like, you can look it up, like, videos of it on YouTube and stuff like that. And then it's like, they have videos of it reverse with no sound effects. And it literally is like, beep, 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 beep. Huh. And they're like, uh-uh. Like, it sounds exactly, and like.
So what you're telling me is the lead composer ran out of ideas.
It's genius, in my opinion, though, because even if you listen to it in reverse, like, the orchestra doesn't sound like a backwards orchestra. It doesn't sound bad. It sounds good in reverse.
Oh, so they actually transposed it. They didn't just reverse it in a computer.
It's made, like, perfectly.
Oh, okay. All right, that is pretty neat.
And, like, that's the Skyward Sword theme and everything, too. And
that's kind of neat, yeah.
Which I thought was really cool, because it's, like, sounds good backwards and forwards. It doesn't sound like a reverse song backwards. It sounds like a normal song, basically.
I haven't... I haven't given up on it. Let's just say that. Yeah. I haven't given up on Skyward Sword. I haven't given up on Ocarina of Time and everything. I just wish that it's like playing a PlayStation 1 game. I went through my PS3 very recently, and I was like, Medieval. Oh, that's cool. I remember playing that game back in the day. Or, you know, which one? Wipeout. Like, I have the new Wipeout HD. I
never played Wipeout.
Wipeout's amazing. It's the racing game. It's a space. It's this.
But every time I hear Wipeout, I think of the TV show that's called Wipeout. No, it's like not. They have their own game.
Yeah, like a mini game, like Fusion Frenzy type of. Yeah,
Fusion Frenzy's actually
no,
good.
No, I love Fusion Frenzy.
I can play that like forever.
The remake, the 360 remake wasn't that great, but.
They made a remake? Really?
Yeah, I think it was like a sequel or maybe
called,
like
was
an
it called
off.
Fusion Frenzy again?
It's like, no, well, not Fusion Frenzy again, but.
I mean, not a
Fusion Frenzy Dose, maybe. I'm not giving up on it, but it I feel that the graphics do have a lot to do with it, because when you play Legend of Zelda, you're not like, these graphics don't look HD to me. You're saying, these graphics look very vintage. But then whenever you see like a game that's supposed to be 3D and the graphics are very, you get a lot of jagged lines. I think there's not a lot of anti-aliasing or whatever on the side.
So it's kind of a lot of work to do for 3D.
Yeah,
business.
It's like, it's cool that you did it if it was in 3D, like if I was wearing glasses and they made it, like they did some Nintendo 3DS type of thing.
Yeah.
Like I imagine if you shrink everything down, maybe that's the problem. Maybe I have a 150-inch TV, you know, 150-inch projector screen, and that's the problem. It's too big. I got to watch it on a 12-inch TV, and it'll look amazing.
That'd probably be kind of cool.
That's something I've always had problems with the Wii. The Wii uses the GameCube engine, the GameCube graphics engine, and they never really updated it. But all that aside, apparently the Wii U's amazing, by the way. We talked about that previously.
But I've heard – I don't have it, but I mean I've heard so many
great things. It's actually like 1080p now. It's
really?
Like, yeah, it's really HD. They skipped ahead. They were like, well, you know, all of you are still stuck in 720p. We're going to go ahead and just double that. Just throw away all the other ones.
That's pretty cool.
576? No, we can't do 576 anymore. We're going to go to 1080p.
That's really cool.
There's a bit greener grass on 1080p.
So wait, you play, I've noticed from like all the games you talk about, you play mainly classic games, but yet how is it that you care about graphics so much if you play mainly
can
I ask another question?
Yeah, go ahead.
You one of those guys that's like,
he's trolling me, he is hipster.
I wish Minecraft was good, but it's not because of the graphics.
No, because I think Minecraft is intentionally going for like, yep, we live in a world of squares. Everything's a square.
Minecraft is awesome.
It is. And there's graphic mods that make this game with like shader effects and lighting effects. But I could play stock Minecraft, and you know what? It's not trying to be anything else. I think when a game... and it's not that, you know, you shouldn't make a game if you don't have the polygons to make a good character model. I think Perfect Dark is one of the games that, like, changed, or GoldenEye, rather, changed the way we looked at games, because Rare did an amazing thing when Rare was still in business. They did an amazing thing with the game. But I think at the same time that game has a time, and it's time locked. Versus like Legend of Zelda, the games are still being made that look like Legend of Zelda Link to the Past.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's the big difference. Games aren't being made that look like Zelda Ocarina of Time because they had to make that game a certain way because they couldn't make anything better at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But they could have definitely made a game like Link to the Past ever since they made Link to the Past. And it's like, it's one of these transferable type of artist styles. Hmm. Now we've got games like The Last Story for Wii. It's this Japanese-style RPG, and it uses sprites, like basic sprites. But so does Marvel vs. Capcom, with the exception of Street Fighter IV, all of the previous Street Fighters.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the, what was it called, like Blase Blue and Guilty Gear X, they all use these, it's a lot of fighting games, but they all use sprites, hand-drawn, beautifully rendered sprites and animations.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even now we still have that, even side-scrollers. Like, you look at games like Beautiful Joe, which is kind of dated because Beautiful Joe 1 and 2, they're like 2006, 2007,
yeah,
I think.
They're pretty old now.
But even then, they did the side-scrolling type of thing with 3D animation, but it was cartoony. It was supposed to be cartoony.
Yeah.
It didn't try to be anything else. Mm-hmm. And I think that whenever you try to make things lifelike, not that Legend of Zelda is lifelike. I get that, you know, there's a lot of maybe Twilight Princess that tried to be a little more lifelike than I think it should have.
So in your opinion, do you think Twilight Princess is the best one in terms of graphics? Then
it seemed like it was, but I think it tried to be more realistic. Now, granted, I have not played enough. I have not played enough Skyward Sword to say that for sure.
Yeah,
it could take a turn, but I think that there were more gritty, you know, dirt and particle effects so far in Twilight Princess than I've seen in the other one, in Skyward Sword. And I'll say this, I haven't really broken into Wind Waker, but I've heard that Wind Waker's amazing because Wind Waker is intentionally cartoony, and you don't have that, It's like a like what is it called, the Uncanny Valley. It's like when you make a 3D model or you make a game that's supposed to be realistic, but you can tell that it's not. It's like they tried way too hard to make it, and then they just didn't. They didn't make it.
I hate games like that. It's they tried too hard. Almost.
Like when they're doing lip sync and the lips are a little off and they're jittery.
And it's like you can see that they obviously spent hours and hours and hours to try to make the lips look perfect, but then it's like they messed up something like ever so slightly. And
I think it's not bad. They shouldn't stop trying because I feel that that's how we progress.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of bad parts in order to progress to that far.
I always make history references. I don't know, like the Benjamin Franklin. Who was it that invented the light bulb?
Not Benjamin Franklin.
I almost said Benjamin Franklin. Thomas Edison?
Edison, yeah.
He said he had a quote.
Arguably Thomas Edison.
What do you mean arguably?
Well, there's a lot out there that's just like, oh, Thomas Edison. We could probably, wiki it right now. But Thomas Edison didn't make the light bulb. He made the first, like, mass-producible light bulb.
Okay. But I was about to say, like, this is a quote basically from him. Like, you said it takes a lot of bad things to make something good. Like, he had a quote that said, like, I found out 2,000 ways to not make a light bulb before I found out one way to make one.
Yeah.
And it's like he found out 2,000 ways to fail before. It's like, I don't know where I was going. It just seemed like the quote was relatable and it made sense.
I get where you're going. So, I mean, you have to make a lot of mistakes in video games before you really hit on, like, Minecraft. Like, I'm sure there's a ton of games out there where you build things. That's like all RTS games really are. You build dudes, you go and fight. Minecraft is, and a lot of people think that Notch, the guy that created it, and Mojang, the company that created it, they think that maybe he kind of stole an idea or stole code from here or there. Whatever.
Either way,
it's
original almost, though. Because
there are a lot of games that they didn't capitalize on the simplicity of Minecraft.
That's what I'm talking about.
But,
though,
I mean, you play Minecraft, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's original with the fact that he made it where... Actually, do you want to play a song real quick? I feel like we've been talking for a really long time.
Yeah, let's play a song. This is going to be Dawn of the New by 6-2 Sounds. This is actually, I think it's like a Sonic 2. Sonic 2 remix.
That's cool.
This is from ocremix.org. If you want to get this, go ahead and check it out on ocremix.org. 6-2 Sounds with Dawn of the New on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 KSLU and Experience Points.
You euthanized your faithful companion, Cube. Well done.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Wait for it. Where is it? Where is it?
Are you still there?
There it is.
We are back. This is Experience Points. I am Will.
And I am MG. And this is Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU. That was... What was that called? Victims of Science with Device Has Been Modified.
Device Has Been Modified.
And before that, we already told you that was the Dawn of the New by 6-2 Sounds. So, we're bringing you back up to speed. We're talking about my apparent hate for Legend of Zelda. This is a very hot topic around the old water cooler. I don't want to offend anyone. Like, I think Legend of Zelda is an amazing series, an amazing game series. One of the biggest ones. Like, maybe not as big as Mario, but maybe bigger in the story aspect. You know, it's definitely out there as far as being. I think it's like a universal language, more or less. You know, whenever you go around, blah 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 blah. Whenever you do that, I think people kind of know. You know that. That's, you know, at least older, maybe older gamers, they kind of know, maybe Japanese or Korean, maybe not Korean, they just play, like, StarCraft, but...
The reason I've been laughing while you're talking is because I was thinking, it's like, you bashed on Zelda, Zelda so much to the point where you had to be like, but actually, here's a couple of compliments just to make everyone feel
better. No, all games are beautiful, everybody, all games are beautiful. I should get the ladies' man to
that'd be really
to,
funny.
To call up the is it Miyamoto? Does he do? No, Miyamoto did Mario. Like, I'll just get Koji Kondo. We have another song from Koji Kondo. It's a Legend of Zelda mix. I think it's from the 25th anniversary.
Really?
Yeah. I think that's where I got it from. But
anyways, we got into talking about Minecraft though.
Yeah. So I look at Minecraft as being like graphically. I don't know. It's simple.
Yeah.
And it's not trying to be anything else.
And that's the thing is like what we were talking about before we went to a song, we were talking about how I was saying, like, I didn't think it really copied anybody, and then you said, but it did a little bit.
Oh, yeah. So, a while back, before Minecraft really came out, there was this game, I can't remember what it was called, it was like Constructors or something, and it was a game just like Minecraft, sort of, but it tried to do too much. It was like an industrial-based game, so you had, like, a dude with a hard hat, and you went and you played the game pretty much just like you play Minecraft, except it was very... It was low-tech, it stopped being developed, and it was something that Notch was working on at another company. So whenever he left that company, and I think the company dissolved, he took some of the ideas, possibly took, the urban legend says he maybe took code, There's, I don't think there's anything to prove that he did, but he
so
took.
So he was working for the people that were making Constructor.
Yeah, I think so. I can't even remember if that was the real name, but I'm sure you could Wikipedia it or games similar to Minecraft. Anyway, it was this expansion. Minecraft is not a direct copy of that game by any sense.
Yeah, no.
You know, it's an expansion. It's and I think Notch doesn't really even Notch is not the guy behind Minecraft anymore. That's Jeb now. So there's Notch. He made it. And then he said, listen, I made this thing. I want to work on some other things now. And handed this, you know, billion-dollar game, this multi-million-dollar franchise, I guess, this game that he made, handed it to his other developer because it was just one guy. He handed it to him. And now this guy's running and developing and putting out updates for it. And Notch is working on some crazy new... I'm sure it's going to be great. It could flop, I guess. I don't know. It could be bad, but...
What is it? What is he working on?
Oh, I have no idea. No, no one does.
Oh, that's cool.
He knows, I'm sure, but, you know... You look at Minecraft, really kind of like a success story, coming from nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it should have been on, like, Kickstarter, but it was never... It was before Kickstarter.
Like, it didn't even... That's the thing, is it seems like most of the time for something to get famous, it'd have to have something, like, reference it or something, but it seems like Minecraft just kind of was like, hey, you guys... Out of nowhere,
yeah!
Like,
just all of a sudden, it was like, "Hey, I saw this pretty cool game at a party. You wanna? Let's get it. Oh, look, it's in beta.
Just spread by word of mouth, basically, and now it's as big as it is.
Yeah,
now.
I saw a couple guys playing at the computer lab, and it kind of got me interested. And then I kind of started. I don't know. I was like, I'll never play that game. Seems dumb. And then pretty soon, it's like, you know, I got Red Bulls, and one night I just kind of
like literally everyone's attitude towards that game is. It looks dumb. Like, the graphics on it are terrible. What even... Why are you playing that? And then you play it once, and you're like, who made this?
Who wouldn't play this?
And it's, like, the funnest game ever. And I remember back in, like, the days of whenever Minecraft was, like, an alpha, it was, like, all they had was, like, blocks.
Yeah, all you could do is place blocks and
destroy
blocks.
Yeah, and you could, like, make something in your crafting table, and that was about it. But now it's, like...
It's a full-blown... It's like... I look at it, it's like Skyrim, but not quite like Skyrim.
I was actually about to say, have you seen that, that's actually... It's kind of amazing. In Skyrim, on the top of the mountain, they have a thing called the Notched Pickaxe on top of the Throat of the World or whatever. It's called the Notched Pickaxe.
Oh, that's kind of cool. It's like a throwback to Notch.
And, well, that's the thing is, everyone was like, hey, like, every friend I've ever talked to ever was like, they'd mention it because they saw it on the internet somewhere, and they'd be like, hey, did you hear about the Notched Pickaxe? It's a reference to Minecraft, blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, are you sure? And so I looked it up, and it turns out Bethesda actually claims that in every single game of that they've made in the line of the Elder Scrolls has a notched pickaxe in it. So it existed before Minecraft or anything like that even existed.
So it's just kind of coincidental.
But it's like, it's coincidental. And so it's
is it
like,
a green pickaxe?
And no, it's not a green pickaxe.
Because if it was a diamond pickaxe like in
but
Minecraft.
But it does increase your mining and everything. It increases your blacksmithing and everything too. But and it has a little notch on it, which is why it's called a notched pickaxe. But it's like, whenever I saw it, I was like, this must be a reference to Minecraft, which I thought it was really cool.
I think people are going to see what they want. They want to look into it and see what they want to see.
Yeah,
but...
and that's what I did, honestly. I was like, cool, Minecraft reference. And then I just looked it up, and then I was like, okay, wow, never mind.
There's actually there's a few instances kind of like that. Funny that I just said instance, but... there's a World of Warcraft podcast called The Instance, and there are three main guys on it. There used to be more, but it's like they get a job... that will conflict. If they continue to do the podcast about WoW, then it'll conflict with the new job that they are getting, which means they're probably working for Blizzard, which is crazy. And eventually it's leaked that they are. But Scott Johnson, I think Willie Dills Gregory, and then Terpster, Mark Turpin or whatever his name is. Anyway, they do a really good podcast. I recommend everyone who has any type of interest in WoW or even MMOs or even just good podcasting because they're really good. It's high production quality.
Yeah.
They do Frog Pants, the whole Frog Pants podcasting group, and they do The Instance. But they've actually been so influential for the last 7 or 6 or 8 years, however long WoW's been going, they've been podcasting the entire time.
Wow.
And they're like the number one gaming podcast, not just the number one gaming podcast about WoW. They're the number one podcast in gaming, period. Yeah, on iTunes.
That's really cool.
So they've actually, and to reward them sort of, Blizzard has given them in-game items. So like, there's GURP, who is Scott's character, GURP's bow. There's Terpster's leggings.
No,
it's really cool. There's like they actually put in-game items.
Are they good too?
I don't know. I think it's one of those like transmog. Just, you're gonna like transmog to those if you're the character.
It just looks cool or something maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. I need to look up. I just heard about it. I listened to the podcast and they said it and they were really excited about it. But I actually haven't
seen
it.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And there's a few other things like WoW. Blizzard's really good about that, I guess. But Blizzard, there was a guy who was playing WoW. It was like his one last thing. He had like a disease or some type of malady, and he passed away and WoW was kind of like his livelihood because he couldn't get out anymore.
Yeah.
And they actually put like a memorial or a shrine or a tombstone in the game.
Huh.
Wait. Kind of dedicated to him in the middle of, I want to say like the Highlands or the Hinterlands or something.
The Barrens maybe? Was it that guy in the Barrens?
I know there was one in the Barrens. But, and there was...
but I heard something about the one in the Barrens. I thought it was one of the guys that actually helped develop the game. He died in the process of it because he had some disease or something like that also.
Yeah.
And so they literally made a little like monument to him. And they actually have another monument to... in a Netherstorm, and to one of the guys that helped develop StarCraft, he died in the development of it also. Not, like, in the development of it, but, I mean, like, he died
he
while
was in the
being,
development.
Yeah. And so they have, like, a little thing that looks like it's from StarCraft in Netherstorm, which is kind of, like, the perfect place for something StarCraft-y to be because
it's
Netherstorm.
Yeah, it's all lightning and purple. Yeah.
And, but I mentioned earlier you mentioned something, you were talking about Final Fantasy, and I remember I heard you say, you were like, yeah, all the games are good. Oh, except for the sucky online version. And it reminded me, like, most games are good. Like, single-player, non-online games. It's like, I'm kind of afraid because the Elder Scrolls is talking about making their own version of an online.
There's the beta. You can sign up for the beta right now.
And it's like, I'm almost scared because it's like Knights of the Old Republic. Did you ever play Knights of the Old Republic?
Unfortunately.
And
yeah.
Wait, not The Old Republic.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I played the second one. The second one that
the
great,
second,
but...
The second one was not that good, the first one was amazing. I'd say that's probably like one of my favorite games I've ever played.
I think it's how, you know, they did Mass Effect after they did the second. I mean, they did a few other games too, but Mass Effect was the big game I think they did after Knights of the Old Republic. And I think Knights of the Old Republic would cut their teeth. You know, they actually started working on that, and they were like, man, we can make a really like big story out of this, and they actually brought that in, and then they tried to do it to the Old Republic.
And I feel like so many friends were like, dude, play the Old Republic. It's only however much money a month, and now it's free because no one played it because it kind of sucked.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad.
And it's kind of depressing, though, because it's like the Knights of the Old Republic was... outstanding. I played it so many times, like played through it and beat it so many times.
Because it's got a high replay value because you could always play.
You change
as someone
the storyline,
yeah,
and you can go light side, dark side. You can have a different team with you at all times. And then Knights of the Republic 2, it was okay. I didn't really like it as much.
Yeah,
and
I mean I they could have stopped at one.
But say it fit the perfect sequel like stereotype of not as good as the first one.
Yeah,
and but in the end, it was still fun to play because I mean it was like, hey, Knights of the Republic 2, no way. And then, the Old Republic came out. And it was like. Meh. And then they have like what other games have done that besides World of Warcraft, because World of Warcraft
is actually successful. World of Warcraft was good, but it completely changed
from Warcraft 3. Yeah,
I feel like Final Fantasy 11 was okay on PlayStation 2 because it was like the first big game. You're like, oh man, Final Fantasy. Square, I think it was even Square at the time, or Square Soft.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even sure it was Square Enix at the time, but because they had merged. But that, you know, that was neat, and you had to get hardware to do it, but you were playing this big game on a console, and that was kind of unheard of with all these other people. But it didn't have any mouse support, so when they ported it to the computer, I don't feel that it really worked. Final Fantasy 14, in fact, this is funny because they are redoing all of Final Fantasy 14, which is the next version.
Why?
So, okay, here's a story, real summed up from a friend of mine. He described it the best way. He says, Final Fantasy 14 was great, and they were doing the development for 14.
Yeah.
They brought in a new developer. He, like, changed how they developed, changed everything about the story and how the system worked, and they released it, and it was this big release, and then the game was terrible. The game sucked so bad. So they fired that developer. And now they're putting it into the story where everybody, you know, the servers are going and they're fighting all the bad dudes, and all of a sudden a world boss shows up or whatever, and it's this fight that you can't win. And it actually kills all the characters in the entire Final Fantasy 14 world. And it destroys everything in the world. And the servers go down. And the servers stop producing, like they stop serving. And now they are remaking Final Fantasy 14. And when it comes back, it will be different. You'll be resurrected, and you'll be different, and things will be changed.
That
and
is cool.
It's a neat story plot point. But in a nutshell, yeah, bad developer, developed poorly, fired the developer, developed new game.
And so that you're saying, like, after they fired the bad developer, they made it where you kill the world boss, or you try to kill the world boss, and he kills everything.
I want to say that it's like they shut it down, and now they're redoing it. Like, I'm in the beta, or I've applied to be in the beta, because I always like, Final Fantasy is great for benchmarking. Like, if you want to know what your computer can do, at least how well it could play Final Fantasy, because I was in the 14 beta, and I didn't really understand it, because it was so different from Final Fantasy 11, seemingly. You had a mouse now, and also, I was so into WoW at the time, I was more or less trying to get out of WoW. I was trying to find...
Everyone, at some point in time, is trying to get out.
Yeah,
yeah,
I think it was Wrath of the Lich King, and I was like, I'm just kind of tired. I don't want to do this anymore. It seems like the game's going downhill. It'll never make it another year, you know. And, 3 or 4 years down the line here, it still is. But
and I'm just waiting for them to come up with, like, basically another Burning Crusade. Not another Burning Crusade expansion, but I mean, like, an expansion that is as good as Burning Crusade that basically makes it just as good so everyone starts playing. Because if they came out, you realize if they came out with something like that, they'd have, like,
all their player base again. Everybody comes back.
Because all those people that play right now that are like, all their friends make fun of them because all their friends used to play WoW, but then they have that one
kid better
that plays. It's like, yeah, I still play, and I have gear. And we're like, you suck whenever we played. Like, the only reason you have gear is because of the fact that
you continue to play.
You continue to play, and
it's
no one
plays.
It's a
war of attrition. You keep going.
They have no one to give the gear to now, so they just give it to you now.
Right.
But it's
and
like,
it's themed. You don't have to play one dungeon a million times to get that one piece.
It's so
like,
depressing what they did.
I kind of like it because I'm that friend you're talking about. I'm the guy that...
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm bad at WoW. I don't mind saying it.
I liked the old, you have no life, but you have great gear type of play, because I didn't like the you have no life part, but I like the fact that if you saw someone that had great gear, you were like, that guy, that dude is awesome. And then if you, like, you always had people that you could basically look up to and respect almost in the game just because of their gear, but now it's like you see someone with gear and you're like, no way, they have really good gear. Oh wait, it says Raid Finder on it. Oh,
yeah, of course. They just, it was pretty much handed to them.
Yeah,
everybody got carried.
They just kind of hit one button during the whole raid and then got lucky during the roll.
We should play a song. This is since we're talking about WoW. This is I Play WoW by Jace Hall.
Okay.
I'm MG.
I'm Will, and this is Experience Points on Southeastern Zone 90.9 KSLU.
Zone 90.9 FM KSLU. I'm MG.
And I am Will, and this is Experience Points
on Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU. That was I Play WoW by Jace Hall. We got a couple more minutes. We're going to round it out, and then we're going to play some MyFi Dragons. But before we do that, we're going to go ahead and talk about a really important topic. We all have phones.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we live in the 21st. Is it 21st century? 21st century. 21st, I don't know. It's always, you got to, like, subtract one.
Because it's like add one or...
Yeah, you got to add one.
Yeah,
so it is the year 2013. I know that's true.
Yeah, okay, that's true.
It's 2013.
And
everybody's got
is
phones. My in fact, my godson has an iPhone 4S, I think.
Really?
Yeah, he's like 7 years old, and he has a...
That's annoying.
Yeah, isn't it?
I always hate
but he
that.
Calls me up, honestly.
So annoying.
He's not like calling people up all the time and asking them to do stuff. He's like, he doesn't have any girlfriends yet.
I mean, obviously.
But he plays Angry Birds.
Yeah, that's another thing also. I've noticed a lot of kids, little kids, are getting, like, iPod Touches and iPhones now. Like, you said 7 years old is what you said?
Yeah, I think at seven I was playing with Dirt.
But to have a baby brother.
Right, maybe he had a Tamagotchi.
I think he's 8 years old, seven. No, he might actually just turn nine recently, actually.
He's just a young kid.
And he's 8 or 9, and he has an iPod Touch, and he's like, hey, Will, look at this. I'm playing Minecraft. And I'm like, and Minecraft's, like, becoming almost like a kid's game now because of that.
Everybody's
like,
playing it. Yeah.
And then not only
Halo's like a kid's game now.
And then, I guess everything's kind of kids' games now.
What's the adults game like? Is it war? Like super commando laser tag? I mean, what?
That's a good question, actually, because it's like every time you play on a game, like, all little 12-year-olds are making fun of you.
Yeah.
And I was gonna say, I actually saw, like, a pie chart on the internet that was really funny, and it was like, number of people that have slept with my mom, and it was a pie chart, and it said like 98%. It said 12-year-olds on Xbox, and it had like 2%. And it was like my dad, and it was really funny because it was like, just because all the 12-year-olds like, I slept with your mom last night,
right?
You know, like, just being dumb or whatever, but.
Yeah, I can't play on Xbox Live.
And it just seems like...
Especially with sound.
Yeah, I just... All the people with the mics.
I'm almost an expert, because sometimes I'm like, how do you mute this thing? And I'm like, whatever, I'll turn the stereo off.
Yeah, just...
And I'll be like, I'm the expert. Well, okay, maybe I shouldn't say expert. I'm really good at playing, like, deaf first-person shooter.
Really?
Yeah.
I always like to have the sound, so it's always annoying whenever I'm like... Enjoying a game, like, can hear somebody walking up, like, I'm like, oh, look, someone's about to come around the corner. I know I hear the guy, like, hey, what? Like, starts yelling. I'm like, okay, who's okay, Mike? Yeah. And so I mute the mic or whatever. But
you were bringing up an interesting point during the break. Like, I remember when phones, like, I had a brick phone for the longest time. He's showing his phone right here. It's like the Samsung.
It's a flip phone.
Hold on, listen to this.
Listen to this.
Oh, look, man, I like that. It popped and everything. It's but you couldn't kill these things. You couldn't kill. Mm-hmm. Now I've got. I mean, maybe you've seen these, but I have a life-proof case on my iPhone.
How life-proof is that actually?
I actually have a replacement coming because there's this like little lip kind of coming up. So I don't know.
Put it in water.
I did. I put this thing in water for an hour. And it works. Yeah. Wow. I know. I love these things. These things are really, really
good. You put it in water to test it out.
Yeah, my brand new iPhone 5. I put it in water.
I know so many friends that I'm like, dude, put it in water. And they're like, no.
I won bets. I've been like at a restaurant or whatever, like a bar and grill, and they bring a pitcher of water. And they, the guy takes it. He's like, it's a life-proof case. What if I put it over here? And I just like hit the top of it. He dangles it on top of the pitcher of water. And then
I keep saying water.
Because like, I'm not an alcoholic.
Oh, water. Okay.
People seems to. Oh, you got a pitcher? They don't bring water in pitchers. Yeah, they do. They do bring water in pitchers.
But
he smacks it down. I smack it down in the water, and there's water everywhere. Like I made a big mess. He's not worried about the big mess. He's worried about my phone.
Yeah.
Like, is it okay? I'm like, yeah.
Just sitting there with your arms crossed, like.
Yeah, like when he's like, "Is it really life proof?" And I'm like, "Challenge accepted. It'll be fine." You know? Yeah, yeah. I can do it. I feel like a BAMF.
And. It's great. You said the phones, like how they used to be, you couldn't even break them. But that thing is my flip phone I have, I actually got like not even a week ago, because the phone I had before it was, I actually posted something on Facebook. I broke my old Nokia like phone, and then everyone was commenting like, you can't break those Nokia phones. Because you know, there's like the thing on the internet that's like, you can't break old Nokia
zombie
phones.
Zombie apocalypse, and Nokia brick still survives, yeah. Along with the roaches.
I saw like a post the other day that I was like, dang it, I accidentally washed my old Nokia phone in my pants. Good thing my dryer survived or whatever. And I was like,
I've never heard that.
And
one.
I was like, yes. And, but basically, I had one of those kind of phones, and like, I would go out of my way and like throw it on the ground, and then people would be like, hey, is your phone really indestructible? I'm like, oh, you tell me. And I'll throw it up like 80 feet in the air and let it land on the concrete and pick it up and be like, hey, look. And then it'd still work perfectly fine. And everyone was like, oh my gosh, I'm so jealous of you. And it was funny because it's like, they would have like a Samsung Galaxy S3, and they'd be like, that's really cool. I like your phone a lot. And it's
rugged. It's like the Boy Scouts of phones.
Yeah. And they're walking around with a computer basically, yeah, and they're telling me that they like my little box of matches almost, it seemed like, is like compared to
you've got Nokia Sugar Bowl on there and Snake. I don't even have Snake on mine.
Yeah, and it was crazy. And but the thing is I actually finally broke it. The outside didn't break, for the record. The outside did not break. Something on the inside
did.
Whoever,
you fall into a volcano, is and, that how you broke
well, the
it?
Thing is I actually was going so far out of my way. I had a pair of drumsticks, and I wasn't just hitting it. No, that wouldn't have broken it anyway. I had a pair of drumsticks, and me and my friend were like, hey, let's see if we can break it. And so he threw it to me, and I slammed it like it was a baseball, basically, as hard as I could. Then picked it back up. Nothing was wrong with it. And I was like, okay, it's still working. I threw it to him. He did the same thing. We did it literally like 10 times or something like that. Picked it up. It was still working perfectly fine. And I was like, I'm not even going to try to break this anymore. I was like, this is weird. But the only thing I noticed was like the bottom couple of keys, like they're bent inward a little bit. And so I was like, okay. I was like, well, the keys are a little messed up. And then later, I went to go use it to text someone, and it was like SIM card. And I was like, what the heck? And so like, it was saying I had something wrong with my SIM card, is what it was saying. And I opened, I was like, my SIM card's still in here. It's not out of place. And then I turned the whole phone back on, and then it like took forever to turn back on. And so something in the inside of it actually ended up coming out.
It'd been great if you like took your SIM card out and the SIM card was shattered in half, but the phone was completely fine.
That would have been really funny.
Yeah. You're like, well, I need a new SIM card. And they're like, oh, you have one of those Nokia phones. You're like, yes. Well, you've actually saved up enough upgrades to get the International Space Station. Here's your phone. Yeah. You know, they fly the International Space Station in. And they put that in the museum.
And that's the thing, too, is they put my phone in the museum.
Yeah, so.
The thing is it's like, I would have a new phone. I probably would have some sort of smartphone. But it's like, every time my upgrade comes around, it's on my dad's contract. My brother or my dad would be like, hey, we got a new phone. I have my BlackBerry, but now I have an iPhone. I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. And then my brother is like, Will, I have to get a new phone. My phone's broken. And I'm like, look at my phone. My phone's not broken, but it might as well be. It's nothing compared to, like, he had a smartphone and it had, like, a crack in the screen. And so he ended up using my upgrade again. And, like, my upgrade's probably coming around soon or something. But anyways, my phone was broken. So it is possible to break indestructible phones, but not on the outside. That's the thing. It was crazy.
So you could still use it as, like, the cornerstone for a really heavy building?
Yeah, and the thing is, I always used it to drum with. And if it had, like, cuts all over it, because, like, I'd be hitting the cymbals with it and, like, hitting it really hard. I wasn't, like, playing mercifully with it or anything. I was going
you
all out.
You drum with a cell phone?
And nothing affect, like, I'm telling you, this phone was ridiculous. Like, it attracted so much attention because of the fact that it was indestructible, and now I have a flip phone, but
But yeah. You're going to drop that once and it's going to explode.
Yeah, that's the thing is I'm afraid right after I got the flip phone, I was so used to throwing my old phone actually that I was like, hey, you guys, look, I got a new phone. And I threw it at them and it hit the wall and I was like, oh, wait.
It's a brand new phone.
I just forgot. I was like, this isn't one of those phones. This is a flip phone. This is the first phone they made basically in the line of, hey, these phones are no longer indestructible.
I bet they could probably, because you know how there's like a market out there for selling old looking tech?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sure if you sold like a Walkman, but it was like an MP3 player that looked like a Walkman,
yeah.
I'm sure people would buy it. Like people would, like the hipsters of today,
yeah.
You know, electro hipsters would buy it. But I'm sure there are people out there that would want to buy like, even maybe like a Nokia case for your iPhone.
I've always thought that'd be really cool to do.
Like you remake the what was old is now new.
Yeah, and
it's like what Slinkies did.
Speaking of that, my grandpa, he actually has like a really old, really, really, really old like 1980s computer. And every time I see it, I'm like, man, I just want to like take everything out of it and put like brand new motherboard,
new parts in there,
everything into it, and then be like, go to like a game night like Slugo or something
there
like that
go.
And be like, hey you guys, and they're like, what the heck, what
why
is that,
why do you have,
and then
an
I have
Apple
my IIe. I have my CRT monitor and
there
everything, but then it has an LED in it,
yeah
and then so it's like
you're playing Skyrim with 100 mods and you're playing.
Yeah, and like you walk up and you're like, hey you guys, I'm like, what is that, and you plug it in, and then like you have the old what is the plug-in, you have the old PS2 ports to plug in your mouse and your keyboard. And so you plug in those.
Or even
and
the big ones, the bigger ones.
Yeah,
the,
I can't think
DIN.
Of
the
DIN. Yeah, mini DIN and DIN. So yeah, you have the old DIN ports, and you plug those in, and then like you open up your computer, and everyone's looking at you, and it's nice and
it'll
good
be great.
On the inside.
The retro. I'm big into future retro right now. In fact, in the coming shows, we need to talk about future retro. We don't have time now. We have to end the hour out. We're gonna end it with iFi Dragons, but. In the coming shows, Will and I are going to play some terrible games.
Terrible games.
And we're going to do Future Retro, which there's a lot of really good music in Future Retro. It sounds
mm-hmm.
like soundtracks to 80s sci-fi movies.
But it's good.
But it's really, really good. Like Zillion. Well, Zillion's not really a Future Retro. Like Kavinsky. And there was another one that's like Laser Shack or
mm-hmm.
Laser
mm-hmm.
somebody.
Yeah.
We need to look at that. But
so we're going to remember you saying something like you actually want to record us playing the video games and actually
yeah.
like probably put the video on the website and then put the audio during the actual show, so it'd be kind of interesting.
Yeah, we'll clip
to.
It together. It'll be fun because I'm sure there are some things we can't say on the radio that we'll be saying in this video.
That'll be fun.
But that is for another time. Tonight we're going to end with I Fight Dragons. Welcome to the breakdown.
This is Experience Points. And
I'm MG.
And I'm Will, and this has been fun. It's Southeastern Zone 90.9 KSLU.